Good morning, church family. It is so good to see you on this Sunday morning. If you're joining us for the first time here, my name is Aaron. I'm one of the pastors here on staff, and we're just so grateful that you joined us for worship this morning. If it is your first time visiting with us here online, we'd love to hear from you. If you go to eastswamp.org/next, there will be a button there that says Next Step Card. You can fill in some of your information and let us know who you are, how we can contact you, and that way we can reach you throughout the week to let you know what's going on here at the church and how you can join in on being part of our church family. We have spent the last few weeks apart, right? I'm getting tired of sitting in this chair and shooting these videos. It's getting kind of old, right? I feel like I say the same thing every time I sit in front of this camera, and that is this: we miss you. We miss you guys so much. I want you to know that you are loved here at East Swamp Church, and we long for the day, and we pray for the day that we can be back in this building worshiping together and studying God's word. But until then, we are so grateful that God in his goodness has given us technology like this to be able to connect. So thanks for engaging in that. I want to make sure you continue to engage in connecting with others here at the church, whether that be through life groups, whether that be with our student ministry, which meets on Wednesday nights for middle school and Sunday nights for high school. So make sure you're jumping in and joining in that way. If you're sitting there and you're not connected to a group, we'd love to get you connected. Again, you can let us know by going to eswamp.org/next and filling out a Next Step card, or just dropping a comment down there in the comment section, and somebody will get back to you to connect you with someone here in the church or a group in the church so that you can join in that way. Just a few announcements before we move through to the rest of our service. It's been difficult these last few weeks, as so many have experienced so much loss, whether it be loss of health, maybe loss of loved ones for some of us, loss of income. There are many needs in our community and in our church right now. And we want to know what those needs are that you have. And so what we've done is we've created a resource called findaneighbor.org. And you can go to findaneighbor.org and put in your information and let us know what those needs are that you have, whether they're financial needs. Maybe you need someone to go shopping for you. Maybe you just need someone simply to call you, to talk with you. We want to know those needs. And then our hope is that others in the community and in our church will also go to findaneighbor.org, those who might have the resources or the extra time to fill some of those needs, and head over to the website and fill out how you might be able to meet someone else's needs. Our hope is to connect need with those who have the resources and time to meet those needs over these next few weeks. So please make sure you take advantage of findaneighbor.org. Another way that we are trying to work to serve the community is by ramping up our efforts to help out at the Quakertown Food Pantry. Joanne Kramer, one of our very own here from East Swamp Church, has been doing incredible work being the hands and feet of Jesus there at the food pantry. And she checked in just these last few days here to let us know how we can better serve our community as we move forward. So I'm going to send it over to Joanne.
Hi everyone, my name is Joanne Kramer, and I'm a volunteer here at the Quakertown Food Pantry. And Pastor Dave called and said that, you know, our church is going to do a food drive for our pantry, so it's wonderful. But as you can see, we already have, you know, pre-bagged bags filled, but we do need so much more, okay? And the reason that they're pre-bagged right now is because of the virus, and people are, you know, we're handing them out instead of just asking people. But we do need things. We need right now canned pasta sauce. We need fresh vegetables, like maybe spinach. I don't know if anybody would like to do this or not, but if maybe instead of one person, you get together with friends or maybe a couple families and go in to the store and buy a carton, you can call up ahead of time, of spinach, like the bags of spinach. We could use that tremendously. apples, oranges, you know, fruits, the same thing with that. If you don't want to buy the fresh, if you want to buy canned spinach, canned collard greens, anything like that, any kind of green vegetable that's green, okay, we need it, okay? Of course, we have plenty of other vegetables, you know, canned, but we're trying to get a little bit more fresh stuff in. Eggs sometimes. Oh, one thing for sure, which I know all the congregation needs, toilet paper right now. So if you have a heart to go out and buy a couple rolls for us, it would be wonderful. I want to really thank everyone at our church. We have the most blessed church here in Quakertown. Our volunteers here at the Quakertown Food Pantry, we have a night just for East Swamp Church, and I every time they leave, I tell them how wonderful they are. I want to truly thank Bob and Joyce Smith, Candy, oh my goodness, Ben and Kristen. I can go on and on. And the other Candy, too. She comes and gets bread for her animals, which we're really thankful for. So I could go on and keep thanking everybody. But you know what? I truly thank you. You guys are a true blessing to our church and to this pantry. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Joanne, for the work that you're doing out there at the food pantry. Thank you to the many volunteers from here at the church who have stepped up to meet those needs there at the food pantry. And what we really want to do is we want to help to restock those shelves there at the food pantry. You heard the specific needs that they have. And what we want to do is, as a church, we want to fill those shelves with those things that they need. So if you're able, we'd invite you to go out and shop for some of those things. Maybe you have some of those items in your kitchen right now. And what we want you to do is we want to you to throw them all in the trunk of your car. And on May 2nd, drive them on over to the church campus. From 10 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon, we'll have volunteers all masked up, gloved up, out at three different stations in front of the church. And all you have to do is pull your car right up there, pop your trunk, and one of our volunteers will take all the food out and put it in the church in one big pile that we'll deliver over to the food pantry later this week. So no contact needed, just stick it in your trunk, drive on in, drive on out. We hope that you will join us in these efforts to restock the food pantry as we continue to seek to meet the needs of those in our community. Also, on behalf of all the pastors and staff, I wanted to just say thank you for your generosity over this Easter season, specifically in your giving towards the special Easter offering. We're still counting and finalizing that number as to how much came in, but we have been incredibly encouraged by the numbers we've seen so far. And so we thank you so much for your generosity in giving to that fund. 100% of those funds will go to meet the needs of people in our community and families in our church who are in need, as well as sending kids and students here from the church to camps and retreats. So we thank you so much for your generosity there. Again, we're grateful that you've joined us this morning. In a minute, we're going to pray here and we're going to move throughout the rest of our service. We're going to worship together. We invite you to worship with us there in your living rooms this morning. We're going to go to Pastor Dave, who's going to share the message with us. We're going to also hear from Cynthia Gaiman as she brings us the conclusion of the video we started last week on how God wants to transform our lives. So a lot of exciting stuff happening this morning. And make sure also, if you have kids there in the room with you, that you stick around after the service for what we call our ES Kids Rally Time, which is a time of singing for families, a game, and then a children's message. So we hope that you'll stick around and join us for that. Again, we love you guys, and we're so grateful that we can spend the morning together worshiping our good and gracious Father in heaven. So would you join me in praying as we move on to the next portion of our service? God, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for your goodness, for your grace towards us. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that you are the creator of the ends of the earth, that you never faint, you never grow weary, that you are constant in your watch over us. And so we are so grateful for that truth in these moments of confusion and chaos. God, I pray that you would just be ever present in the lives of those who are hurting, who have experienced loss over these last several days and weeks. God, I pray that you would be with those who are shut-ins, maybe in their homes, in nursing homes, and aren't able to see their loved ones. God, I pray that you would give them a peace that passes their understanding, that you would comfort them at this time. God, we so miss being together, and we pray that you might bring an end to this virus quickly so that we might be back together again. But until that time, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us to meet in this way. We thank you for your goodness and your grace in it. God, we pray that you be with us throughout the rest of this service. We pray that everything that's done this morning will bring glory to you. We pray all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. You are my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Jesus,
salvation is in his blood. Jesus, the light of heaven, our friend forever, his kingdom come. So don't let your hearts be troubled. So swing wide, all you heavens, let the praise go up as the walls come down. All creation, everything with breath, repeat the sound of his children. Clean hands, pure hearts, good grace, good God, his name is Jesus. So swing wide, all you heavens, let the praise go up as the walls come down. All creation, everything with breath, repeat the sound of its children. Clean hands, pure hearts, good grace, good God, his name is Jesus. Jesus, our redemption, our salvation is in his blood. Fix your eyes on this one truth. God is madly in love with you. So take courage, hold on, be strong. Remember where our help comes from.
Hello, church. Yes. Wasn't that video awesome? It's the thing, it just captures the heartbeat of what we were talking about last week as we think about the church being the gathering of people that are in love with Jesus, that are joining his mission. And the mission of the church matters. It absolutely does. So very cool. Thank you for your part in continuing to choose faith over fear and continuing to shine even in this time. So appreciated as well seeing Aaron and Kelsey and their family and those songs. Just awesome to be uplifted in that way. Pray that was just really an encouragement to you. And hopefully you were even singing along at the home front there and having a good time. So great stuff. Our prayer is that every aspect of this time together, this gathering, you know, whether it's the songs or whether it's the opportunities we get to serve or whether it's the praying together or as we now open the word together, like our prayer is that it just really awakens our hearts and just draws us to him, especially in this season, especially in this time. So just encourage your hearts that way and pray it does do that for you as well. This morning, we're going to look at three things. We're going to look at the truth about foundations, all right? The idea of how do you build on that foundation and why it matters. We're going to start with this idea of foundations. You know, there's been many times in history when our foundations have been a little shaky or a little shifty. I think of some sinkholes. There was times when I would spend time down in Florida, and there's this sinkhole in Winter Park, Florida. It opened up in 1981. All right, May Rose Williams, she heard her dog in the backyard barking. She figured the dog was just chasing a squirrel. Well, she goes out back, and wouldn't you know it, there's a sinkhole opening up right in our backyard. That sinkhole ended up progressing, taking her whole house, taking down the community pool that was next door, $4 million worth of damage back in 1981. I have a picture here of in 2010 in Guatemala City. All right, this was connected to a tropical storm going through the area there in Central America. It swallowed a three-story building. All right, that's not the type of foundation that you want to be around or place you want to be. This picture looks unreal to me, and they actually say that there was probably other complications there that were part of this situation, because that just looks just like craziness. Just looks like it totally went away, right? You could like drop in there and who knows how far you go down. But the idea of a sinkhole, I want you to keep that image in mind as we read from Matthew 7 here. It says this, "Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock." All right, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, he's like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. All right, the rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Now, I imagine you could sort of capture the two foundations there and the two people that were involved. You had a wise man who built his house on a rock. You had a fool that built its house on the sand. And we talked a lot about rocks last week, even as we're looking at the church, right? And we were saying that Jesus, he's our bedrock, right? And then Peter, based on his testimony that, hey, Jesus, you're the Messiah. You're the promised one. You're the very Son of the living God. He's the first of those stones on top of that bedrock. Well, in this passage here, we see this as well, that the building our lives on the rock of God's word is the only sure foundation. There is no other foundation that will stand. Every other foundation is shifting sand. It literally is, just like that sinkhole. All right? I got a little funny from John Reinheimer out there this week. Actually, I get a few every week, so I'm not sure if this was this week or last week, but he sent me an email that was saying, "What isolation has taught me." So thank you, John, for this. I just wanted to make sure everyone knew that this didn't come directly from me. But he says, "I used to," or this resource, this isn't actually John's words, it's a resource. But he says, "I used to spin the toilet paper like I was on the Wheel of Fortune. Now I turn it like I'm cracking a safe. I need to practice social distancing from the refrigerator." Remember, these are things isolation has taught us. Number three, "This morning I saw a neighbor talking to her cat. It was obvious she thought her cat understood her. So I came into the house, I told my dog. We laughed a lot." Last one. "Half of us are going to come out of this quarantine as amazing cooks, and the other half are going to come out with a drinking problem." And sadly, there's some truth to that, and it actually speaks a little bit to the foundations of our culture, right? There was a Michigan study that just came out this week that said adults are coping with COVID-19. More than one in four adults, 28%, are turning towards alcohol or drugs to deal with the stress and the anxiety. Now, that's obviously not a healthy choice, all right? That's shaky ground. So when we look back at this idea of foundations, did you notice when Jesus talked about the two builders, the wise and the foolish person, did you notice what happened? It's not a matter of if, but when those storms will come. All right, the rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew, and the beat against the house. The foundation literally was the only difference between a life that stands or a life that swallows itself up. And I've learned a little bit more about foundations this last year as we were building this building out at the Free Fall Energy Center. And it was really neat to see that building come into fruition, you know, get started at just a foundation and just get built all the way up. And I learned a lot about that. And it's been interesting. Even the foundation now that it's all built and you have being weathering the storms of the day and all that, actually in the foundation, there are some pressure points that you can see in the concrete floor, and there are some cracks that are getting in there. And I think each one of us, we understand the idea of pressure points. We understand the idea of cracks. I know some of you have been through unthinkable tragedies in this last year or two, and our hearts go out to you with that. I can't imagine the pain and the heartache that you're walking through in those storms. Like some of these storms that we're walking through, even today with COVID, some people have family members or relatives either that have passed away or in very tricky situations, even as a church. Our hearts go out to these families that are struggling. We have a neighbor with a son that's in a very serious, was in a very serious accident, is a very difficult spot. Our hearts and our prayers go out to them. You know, every day we are laying down these bricks and we're sort of building our story. And the question is, what are we building on when those storms come, even before those storms come, with our faith? You know, are we choosing to believe God even when it doesn't make sense to us? If so, that's laying down a faith, a block of faith on the foundation of His Word. With our family, are we giving our children over to God and trusting that He knows what's best, that He's going to carry them forward? With our friendships, are we choosing to love as Jesus loved? He says, no greater love than this is that you lay down your life for another. In our schoolwork, I know it's optional, all right, but what's it look like to give our best or whatever we do to do it unto the Lord? You know, to put all of our heart into that. In our careers, are we in our careers and are we pursuing those careers based off of a desire that this is what we want to do or we just want to make money? Are we actually doing it because we want to follow God and glorify Him with our efforts and with our skills? In our retirement, as we go into that season of life, how are we approaching that? You know, as a victory, as a time of rest, or as a, wow, this is a new season of life that God, I'm sure, wants to use me in a unique and a new way. See, it's not a matter of if, but when those storms will come, the foundation is the only difference that between a life that stands or a life that's swallowed up. We know this from 2 Timothy 2, as we've been studying 2 Timothy. Pastor Aaron's been walking us through that. He says, all Scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped. You see that? Thoroughly equipped. Peter says that we might have everything we need for life and godliness. See, you want to know that the truth about foundations? Only lives built on the rock of God's Word will stand. That's the only one. Every other foundation, if we are putting our faith or putting our hope or putting our life, building our life on any other foundation, it's like shifting sand. It's like a sinkhole. It can drop out at any moment, and you have no clue what that next day looks like. But I know many of you have weathered storms, and you've seen God come through in serious ways, in real ways, in personal ways. And I'm just so, I would love to hear maybe from each one of you, what's your go-to verse in a storm? Or what was that song that just carried you through that moment? Or what was that encouragement from a friend that just spoke right into your heart in that time? We're going to take 60 seconds and just give an opportunity to discuss that at home if you have people there with you, or we'd love to see them online as well. It's been so encouraging to see you share how God is working in your life and what He's doing. And then we'll be back for the next part of it after that. Thanks. All right. Thank you guys for engaging in that question and interacting on that. And I'm sure that just got you started, but we're hoping that gives some great ideas to one another and can encourage each other that way. If you had saw a video a little while ago from my wife and I, as we shared Isaiah 43, it's a verse that has spoken to our house and something that Karen shared. It's been a verse that's meaningful to her. It says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I've summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And I just love how personal that is and how and he says, "You are mine, and I will walk with you." That's this whole idea of the Easter challenge, is to walk with Jesus for 30 days. And I hope that that's something that's just encouraging your heart. I hope these verses will encourage your heart. And just as we think about where we started here, the truth about foundations, all right? Only lives built on the rock of God's word will stand. Every other foundation is shifting sand. It's like a sinkhole. It can drop out at any moment. But let's look at how you build, all right? How you build. Did you notice that Jesus said, what he said about how we build our foundation? He said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." There's a hearing and there's a doing, okay? There's a hearing and there's a doing. Now, as we come to this passage, while this building, I know it's intimately connected or linked to our salvation, but I don't think that this is a saved or a not saved passage. And what I mean by that is, I think we see in scriptures and we see in life sometimes, people that believe in Jesus and think they can just sneak into heaven and end up wasting their life on earth and end up at the end of their life really with nothing to show for it. And it's really a shame that way. I believe this is exactly what Paul was speaking to in 1 Corinthians when he says, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, using silver, using costly stones, using wood, using hay or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light." See, I think what he's saying here is the raw material matters, right? The actions of our life matter. It's not just about hearing. It's about doing, okay? He goes on to say, "It will be revealed with fire, and each and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward, all right? And if it's burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames." I think you see that connection here, that he's not talking about salvation. He's talking about, as believers, how we lived our lives after that. As we come back to that Matthew passage, Matthew 7, you know, I think what I see happening here, or what I believe is happening here, it's more about wise versus unwise living, all right? It's a difference between a life full of joy rather than a life filled with misery. It's the difference between a faith that endures or overcomes in the midst of any circumstance compared to a faith that crumbles, all right, at the slightest resistance or at the slightest storm. Okay, I think he's talking about those things. Jesus said, it's about hearing my word and living it, all right? Hear my word, live my word. Back when I first started Bible class back, way back, this goes like 20 years ago, and my first class that I took was a summer class. It was a 3-week concentrated class on the general epistles, all right? And that's like Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John. And Dr. Benmore was my teacher. He was at the church here back in that time and now has since moved out of town, but really influential man in my life. One thing he had us do for the finals was memorize sections of scripture from 4 of those books, and just to try to capture what they were talking about. And you know, the whole idea, the general epistles of those books is they're just speaking into our lives as Christians. They're like, just like Timothy is too. Keep on keeping on. Keep on hearing and doing the word. Keep on hearing and living the word. So I'm going to try to do this James passage and see if you can hear it in there. He says, "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, humbly receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers of the word who delude themselves. For if any man is a hearer of the word and not a doer, it's like the person who looks at his face in the mirror, and once he has looked at himself and gone away, he's immediately forgotten what it is that he looks like. But the one who looks at the perfect law, the law of liberty or of freedom, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. You see what he's saying? The same exact thing. All right? It's not just about hearing. It's about doing. He's calling us to live out our faith in a very real way. You see that in Jesus' life on earth too, and the time that he spent on earth when he was with us. He said the scriptures cannot be broken. He had this incredible view of the scriptures, an affirmation of their authority and their importance. But you know, when Jesus was faced with temptation, when he was faced with real struggle, and no one doubts that Jesus was a man who lived on earth, who did some really cool stuff and walked through some really terrible, challenging stuff too. But you know what he did in those moments? He fought Satan with scripture. He relied on God's word to resist Satan. It's a great example for us. What does Hebrews say about the scriptures? It says the word of God is living, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces as far as the division of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow. It's able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. See, God's word is true. It's a different kind of true than just being right or making sense. Now we're talking about something that cuts into your heart, that cuts spiritual chains. All right. The idea that it produces a fountain of joy deep within your spirit, even when it shouldn't be, even when circumstance doesn't make sense or doesn't allow for it. See, it's not right or wrong. We're talking about this idea of connecting with your Creator and connecting with how things are intended to be. It's a kind of truth that we can hardly even understand. All right. There's so much power in truth. There really is. So how do we build like Jesus? We build with truth, the power of his truth, the power of his word, especially in our culture today. I mean, who wouldn't love to know the truth about what is really happening these days, right? And how we're going to get back to work or get back into church. It's a real challenge to understand and know truth. I think we can also see the power of truth as we look at the destruction that lies bring. And you might know this from personal experience already too, but just to give one example is back in 1905, this Russian religious writer, Serge Nilis, I don't know if I'm saying his name right or not, but back in 1905, he penned the idea. He was the first one to pen the idea that the Jewish people were conspiring to take over the world. That was a lie. That was a complete lie. All right? The Nazis picked that up. They taught that to their children. And we know that 6 million people died as a result of that. Do you see the destruction that can come from just one lie? Again, you might know that from your own life. On the other hand, truth is so powerful. It's so powerful. What about this statement, I was wrong? You ever find yourself in a situation where you've been wrong about a person or wrong about an approach? You know, maybe it was whether it was at work or whether it was in the home front. And as soon as you're willing to admit, I was wrong, or you come to the truth of the matter, it doesn't always even change the situation, but yet it changes everything. Truth is beautiful. Truth is powerful. Truth is freeing, right? And God revealed the truth that you and I need for life in the Bible. That's what he did. So as we keep moving forward here, the last point, why does it matter? Why should we care so much about this? What were Jesus' thoughts on this? You know, before he left us, he prayed. He says his prayer for his disciples, for his people, for us, it's not that we would be taken out of the world. No, but that you would protect them from the evil one. He's praying to God that we would experience his protection and his power in this moment. Not that we're taken out of this world. No, see, in reality, there's an incredible battle going on around us. Just like Jesus fought Satan and had those fights on earth, we find ourselves in those same battles right now. Even with the idea of COVID, like, that doesn't surprise God. He knows that this world is broken. He knows that we're going to experience things as they're not meant to be. okay? I posted this one article out there this week because I don't know how your home front is holding up. But it'd be very normal right now if your home front was a lot of tension and a lot of fighting for various reasons. This article says, you didn't sign up for this, Carrie Newhoff. 4 ways to battle back when quarantine makes your marriage worse. All right. I thought he'd give some good practical advice in there, just processing through that. But part of his article says, see whether this message Jesus spoke stirs hope in you. He says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. All right, so when you signed up for a long-term relationship like marriage or parenting, like it or not, you signed up for trouble. All right, but you also signed up for love and for more life and for more joy. And that's exactly what he writes there, that is his hope for you, and that's our hope for you as well. I think that's what Peter was praying. Jesus was praying for protection for each one of us. Not that we're taken out of the world, but that we would have hope within that battle. And then he reminds us, going back to the prayer, they are not of this world, even as I am not of it. See, we are not of this world. We are of a different priorities, a different foundation, a different values, different goals than the culture around us. We are not of that world. And he prays that we would be sanctified or set apart for special use, for special purpose. Sanctify them. How? By the truth. Your word is truth. Do you hear that? He wants to speak right into your life. He wants to meet you right where you're at with whatever you're going through. Why does it matter? Because there's a battle raging all around us for your mind and for your thoughts and for what you might believe, how you might build your life. And he says, you know what? I offer you truth. And it's going to transform your life, not in a bad way, in a good way. It's actually for your good. It's for your best. It's actually good for you. See, God speaks to us through his word. He wants to use his word. He wants to use prayer as another tool to come together, to come alongside, to change us and to change the world around us. That's the whole idea of this Easter challenge. God wants to transform your life. God loves you. God sees such potential in you. And you're like, no way, he cannot see potential in me. You don't understand who I am. Yeah, that's who this God is. He loves you. He leads with love, and he calls you into something so much better. He loves to take things that are broken, things that are rough, things that are all messed up, and he loves to make them beautiful again. And he does that through the power, his resurrection power that's in our life. He does that through the church, as the church comes alongside one another and supports each other. He does that through his word. And through prayer, as we go into this two-way communication with him, I really challenge you, just as we wrap up this message, as we start to wind down this series a little bit, I challenge you to be in God's word prayerfully every day this week. Every day. You think about that just on a practical level of eating and of food. You know, if you only ate food one day a week, maybe only on Sundays, that's the only day you ate food. The other days you just drank water. I don't know. You might survive. All right. But I doubt you'd be healthy. I seriously doubt you'd be happy. You'd probably be more hangry, right? Difficult to live with. God really, literally, he wants to speak into your life. He wants to meet with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to have a two-way conversation with you as he speaks truth to you. And as you hear him through prayer and talk back to him through prayer, we have these booklets. They're available at eastswamp.org/next. They're the Easter Challenge booklets. And I just wanted to read you this one section just as we think about truth. As you launch into this week, if you're tracking along or the next 6 devotions will help you to understand why it's so important for you to be in God's word every day. It says, no matter what happens around us, we can always stand on God's word and trust in his word. If you live by the truth of the Bible, you will not be shaken when the storms of life rage against you. And you'll actually find even greater peace than when things are calm. That certainly is our prayer. That's our hope for you. We absolutely love you guys. I'm going to end with a prayer. And then we're going to go into Cynthia's part two video as she finishes up the armoire and gives a visual illustration of how God wants to transform our lives. And then we'll head on over to rally time at the Hawks, and they have a special guest joining them as well, so I'm sure you'll enjoy that. But let me just pray for you. Lord God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for revealing truth to us. God, we need that in our lives to combat the lies that are all around us and to become all that you've desired us to be, all that you've created us to be. So go before us this week. Give us the courage not only to hear your word, but actually to live it, to do those things that you're calling us to make those changes, to follow you wherever you might take us. We love you, Lord. And we give our week to you. We give this day to you. In your name we pray. Amen.
This armoire here probably looks a little bit different than last time you saw it. During the past week, with the help of my family and some tools, I was able to transform this piece and really bring the vision I had for it to life. But I could not have done it without the tools that I used. And very similarly, God wants to transform us, and he has given us certain tools that he uses to do that. And one of those tools is his word, it's scriptures. And you might hear that and think, all right, Cynthia, like that sounds good. I know that, you know, what does that look like in my life? And for me, what I will often do is I will pick an area of my life that I am struggling with or that I want to improve in. And I will literally just Google scripture verses about fill in the blank. And then I will see what pops up. And those will be the scripture verses that I will dive into and that I will try to memorize and allow God to use to transform my life in that particular area. Another thing that God uses to transform our lives is prayer, you know, spending that time in prayer with him. And then he also uses other Christians in our lives. You guys saw in the video that my family helped me with this piece and with the transformation. I could not have done it without them. And very similarly, God wants to use other Christians to encourage us, to transform us, to speak that truth into our lives. So it's really important that we are making sure that we're reaching out to others, particularly during this time at home, and really just having that interaction with other Christians. So it is my hope that the transformation of this armoire here would just be a tangible illustration of a deeper spiritual truth, and that this week, you would allow God to be transforming you in your life through his word, through prayer, and through your interactions with other Christians.